really bless you, Lord. Thank God for my wife, and thank God for all of you. And I just thank God for the blessings, amen. And we ask you to keep us in prayer as we prepare to travel to Atlanta, amen. This time, when my mom died in 2000, we became her children. Matter of fact, when sometimes, well, every time I go to Atlanta, I go to see them. I think, what's Sister Evangelist Bloomfield and Sister Maggie went with us during our leaves. We always make it a habit of going. And when we go, she always say, my children. Matter of fact, she said, my children so much that her children, she's been like a mother to us, and we always make sure we go there. But she was saved, and she's on the way to heaven. So can we all just say thank the Lord? Amen. So we praise the Lord tonight for that. We just thank God for his goodness and mercy. Also, the New Jerusalem tent meeting is at 6 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock. Right? Friday night, it starts at 6 instead of 7, and he called today to make sure that the church was still coming. And I told him, with the help of the Lord, we will certainly be there. Amen. So those that are off, he said he wants to start at 6 and be out before it's dark. And last year we were there for like an hour and a half. So if you have the time, please come out and support them, as they supported us all 3 days in our anniversary. They were here Friday, they went to the banquet Saturday, and to the concert Saturday evening, and we're here Sunday. So if we can just take a little bit of time of our busy schedule to help support them, it would be greatly appreciated. Amen. We all know we can't do everything, but let's do what we can. But that being said, let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from, we'll start off in Leviticus, the 19th chapter. Amen. Leviticus, the 19th chapter. And how many know there's hope for the fallen? Right. Maybe some of you haven't fallen. Amen. But sometimes we have fallen along the way. So can I say, how many know there's hope for the fallen? Amen. We praise the Lord. We thank God for Evangelist Paul at camp and the message on Sunday. Amen. Hope for the fallen. In the midst of a messed up situation, God will make a way where there is no way. So we thank God for that. Amen. Leviticus 19, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then verses 11 through 18. Amen. Do we all have that? Verse 1 reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am. So God said, you shall be what? Holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his father. Now this fear means respect or reverence. Amen. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath, for I am the Lord your God. Now verse 11, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Now he's telling them, I want you to be holy, to be as I am. Amen. And then he says, ye shall not steal, ye shall not bear false witness, or deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse to death, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear the Lord. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer amongst thy people. Amen. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt not in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not thyself a sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Amen. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word. The church said, blessed be his name. May be seated. So tonight, our subject that we want to deal with is rebounding sin. Amen. Not basketball. We're dealing with rebounding sin, and our subtopic would be living godly in the midst of an ungodly crowd. Living godly in the midst of an ungodly trial. Amen. And then we're going to go, as always, we like to have a true application of what we're dealing with. Now, when you're dealing with rebounding, a rebounding sin, now to rebound, even in basketball or whatever you're dealing with, a rebound is you're trying to gather something that has been missed. Rebounding is gathering something that what? Has been missed. And we know that sin is transgression, but sin is also missing the mark. So sin is transgression. Sin is missing the mark. Amen. And it's kind of like when the Lord spoke this to me, rebounding sin, I kind of changed it so many different ways. Like, Lord, that just... To me, that just don't tie in. Rebounding sin. Why do you explain what is a rebounding sin? So I changed it. Every time I turned around, he came back to rebounding sin. So I said, you know what? I'm going to study something else. You know, if you have a purpose that I just don't feel comfortable with this subject, so I'm going to go in another direction. So our purpose is going to go in another direction. And what scripture do I wind up back at? The same one. I tried to get away from. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to fight you on this one. So it must be a message for a reason. Amen. And when you deal with a rebounding sin, and we'll go through more scriptures a little later, is you reacting in an ungodly way when someone has done something ungodly to you. When you react in an ungodly way because someone has done something ungodly to you. And this is how I work. I don't know if my mind, I don't know how much of this is the Lord of my mind, but it just, situations tie in that I haven't remembered for years. But I do remember some years ago, well, before I said, you know, a lot of us never intend to sin or do wrong. Listen, now this is the rebound of sin. We never intend to sin or do wrong, but when we react by sinning against, because someone has done us wrong, that is a rebounding sin. All right. So we purpose, we had no mind, we had no thought in our mind to do wrong or to go against God or to sin. But because someone has done something to hurt us, we rebound by sin. But the Lord said, be ye holy. For I am holy. Amen. And as I was preparing the message, actually before I could prepare it, all the stuff just went shoot right through my mind. Like zip tie. Went through my mind, right? And I remember some years ago, thank God, most of y'all don't even know what it is, so don't even try to figure it out. Some years ago, we were at a family event. Now, how about just an event? When I say family, they might get older, right? How many of y'all have family? How about his family, raise your hand. I may want to change the story. We were at a family event some years ago, and, you know, everything was going well. And I'm not going to give you the details, family, because I don't want you to try to figure out. And don't ask at the end, was this such and such? Because I ain't going to tell you. But we were at a family event. Persons truly saved and living for God. But in the midst of this family event, some things happened that were unplanned, unaccounted for. So a sweetly saved person, to get back at someone else in the family, acted in an ungodly manner. And it was to the shock unto the biggest man of all. Like, no, he or she. Nah. That's the way he said he can figure it out. No, he or she, him or them. Reacting in a way is like, whoa, really? You mean you want to let down your salvation standard just to get back at somebody that has wronged you? Now this all happened as we were talking about as I was preparing for, actually I didn't start preparing for rebounding sin. I was just sitting there and the Lord said, rebounding sin. So wow. And the question is how many of us are living godly, but we react by sinning to get back at somebody else that has wronged us? Think about that. How many of us are living godly, but we react by sinning against someone that has done something against us? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, Leviticus actually read chapter Leviticus 19, 20, all gives rules about living and how we have to govern ourselves and how we should deal in a right way. But it says, before we go there, let's go to verse 15 of this 19th chapter of Leviticus again. It says, you shall do no unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is something that would not be considered right in the eyes of who? God. That's why the scripture said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Even when someone acts in an ungodly manner, God still wants us to be holy. Even when people act out of sorts, God still wants us to be holy. So he says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, and thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. So God wants us to represent him in all that we say and do. God wants us to represent him in all that we say and do. And in the fifth chapter of Matthew, as you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, in the fifth chapter of Matthew, the Lord said, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Amen. And the Lord goes on to say, you have heard that it said you're supposed to hate your neighbors. But he's teaching us to live godly in the midst of an ungodly situation. Whatever someone else does, we cannot give an account for that. But God wants us to live, look at somebody and say, you got to still live godly in the midst of an ungodly situation. God monitors us to see what is our reaction. Amen. Now, almost every one of those verses in the 19th chapter of Leviticus, he says, for I am the Lord. Right? He reminds him, I am the Lord. He's given us instructions. He said, now you're not doing it as unto man, but you're doing it as what? Unto the Lord. So everything we do should honor God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 reads, wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds. Right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Sorry, you're in the... All right. 1 Peter 1, 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your... First of all, you got to get the battle won in your mind. Right? In order to engage in battle, your mind has to be prepared. Amen. So he says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we're supposed to gird up the loins of our mind, be sober, hope to the end. But how are we supposed to do it as what? Obedient to who? God and his word. Right, so he's given us instruction. Now, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. So God is saying, he said, look, you are now a new creation. I have made you new through the water and through the spirit, because you've been born again. So God said, now, in this, I don't want you to fashion or to conduct yourself like you did before you got saved. God doesn't want us to act like we acted before we got saved, or he doesn't want us to act like the world. When we respond in an ungodly way when someone does something against us. That is not holy. At least say ouch. Right. People are going to wrong us, but God permits the wrong to see what is our reaction. He said, let's go react as what kind of children? Obedient children. He said, now remember this, that as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in every manner of conversation. That conversation is the way you conduct your life in some manners of conversation. In the manners that you like. But in what? All manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So when someone wrongs you, and you react by wronging them, that is not holy. If someone intentionally has hurt or afflicted you or caused you pain, and you react, your first reaction is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, God says no. Amen. Actually, let's go to Matthew, the fifth chapter. Let's go to Matthew 5, and we'll start off at verse 38. Let's just go there for one quick moment. And then as time goes, I will get to our actual application of someone that had never planned to sin, but result, they wind up sinning on the rebound. The rebounding sin is, you did it to me, I'm going to do it back to you. Amen. Throughout the years, you know, being pastoring and being ministry, we've seen lots of people sin because someone else sinned. Well, why did you do that? Because they did it. That's not as unto God. Amen. That is a rebounding. You would have never done it, but you did it because of what they did. So you sinned to get back at them as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to our former lust. Amen. Matthew 5:38 reads, ye have heard that it was said, it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that ye resist. We're supposed to resist the evil to do it. Amen. But whosoever shall strike thee on the right cheek. That's what all of us just lost all our hope right there. We just lost all our holy right there. You did it. You smacked me. Somebody said, oh, I can do that. You can't do that. When somebody says something, you say something so fast. Right? I could tell a story about getting smacked, but let's keep going for it. And I did not smack back, but nevertheless, we're not here to hear a story. No more, you respect me. All right. But I read that and I can't tell that. But nevertheless, let's keep on. Amen. So Jesus has given us instructions for how we have to govern ourselves in all manner of holiness. Amen. Our problem is today we're trying to live godly in an ungodly world in an ungodly way. That doesn't work. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Alright? But I said to you, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him also, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. Amen. Then he goes on to say, I lost my scripture. Well, give me 1 minute. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. He's talking about that. Somebody says, I don't want to walk 2 miles. He's talking about a mentality, right, that we should have in living God, living holy. Amen. Give him that asks thee, and for him that will borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, we're dealing with being wrong. Somebody wronged me and I'm supposed to be good? Yes, we are. Because the Bible said, be not weary in what? Well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap if you what? But when you rebound to a sin by not doing right, you struggle. Right? So we can't do that. Amen? So he goes on to say, verse 43, you have heard this, it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate
thine enemy. But I say unto you, what?
Love your enemies.
Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use. Somebody does you wrong, you're supposed to do what?
Pray.
We're supposed to what?
Pray.
I know that's about to pray for them. I said, well, pray for them. You did me, I'm going to get you back. That's a rebound of sin. Don't react to what someone else has done wrong by doing wrong also. Well, why do God want us to do that? You may be the
children of your father.
When you act right, when you conduct yourself right, you're the children of who? Your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now go to Psalms 50, verse 23. It's not going to sheet you with it anyway. So God expects us as the children of God to conduct ourselves in a godly way. We can't give an account for what anyone else does as wrong. But in the end, every man will give account for what? Himself. So if somebody can wrong you, no matter what the situation is, God could have changed it and not allowed it to happen, so he permitted it to happen to see what is your reaction. Amen. How do you want to react to this wrong that's been done to you? Are you going to act as obedient children like your Father which is in heaven by being holy? Are you going to be having a rebounding sin? Am I going to rebound to this by doing wrong because they have wronged me? Amen. So Psalm 50 and verse 23 says, whoso offereth praise glorify me. Listen, in all of it, just praise the Lord. And everything we're supposed to give what? Thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. He said, so in spite of you still gotta praise me. Amen. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation, that conversation means, listen. Now all from verse 1 all the way up to verse 22, he's talking about wrong and him sitting as the judge of the earth and judging situations. He's talking about them that slander their own mother's son, and them that turn their back on God, them that offering an outward show but no inward change. So he's dealing with all of this. And then verse 22, he said, remember this, ye that forget God. Right? So he's talking about this. He said, so you're still in the midst of all that ungodliness, you still gotta praise. In the midst of all that foolishness, God said, you're still out to praise. Then, after you praise, you can't just go do what you want to do. Now you got to order your conversation. All right. Not according to your standards, but according to whose standards? God's standards. Order your conversation right. He said, then I will show you the. God said, I'll deliver you in whatever that situation is. So, we're in the trial. Now, what are we doing in the midst of this ungodly situation? Are we praising God? Are we murmuring? Because they can't know me, I rebound and I act up. That's not God. That is a rebounding sin. So you didn't have it in your mind to do wrong, but they did that. And you know, sometimes the blood pressure gets high. You know, you ever see those, remember those cartoons? Somebody standing there, you just see it turn all difficult, red, just so bad. Right, it's like old saying the fried egg over here. God said, I'm allowing you to go through this because I don't care about what they're doing. I'm more concerned about how you react.
Amen.
God said, I don't care what they do. He said, I could have stopped this. I could have prevented it. He said, but I'm allowing you to go through this because I want to know what's in your heart. I want to know how you're going to act. I don't want to know what you're going to say. What conduct do you want to have in it? So they've done this wrong. Yes, they've hurt you. They've done all of this. But what is your response to the wrong? Will you rebound by doing wrong or will you do right? Will you give an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth? Amen. So we have to order our conversation. How? All right. Then will he show us the salvation of God. Let us go to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to go quickly. I'm going to keep you. I want to keep y'all too long. I know y'all are hot, even though y'all are in the air conditioning. I'm going to use hot lights. But then we'll just get too hot. So Romans chapter 12, And we're going to start at verse 9. We know he starts at verse 1 and 2 by, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what?
A living sacrifice.
How? Holy. So, in us presenting ourselves before God, we have to present ourselves in a holy manner. We cannot present ourselves holy by rebounding to sin by sin. Because someone wrongs you, that's not presenting yourself holy. He said, now the only way, listen, the only way that you can respond right is you can't be conformed to this world. So we're trying to be in the world. Jesus said, Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that I keep you from, that you keep them from the what? Evil that's in the world. Right? So he said, I'm not going to take you out, but I want to see what you're doing while you're in the midst of it. Amen? Because we're supposed to be living as obedient children and not fashioning ourselves according to the world. So the question is this, when something goes wrong, how do we respond? When things don't go our way, how do we respond? When someone says something amiss, how do we respond? Amen. So he's telling God, so you can't be conformed to this world, but you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what is that? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. And he leads all the way up to the verse, what we're going to go to now is verse, lost the place. Had it somewhere. We're going to go to verse 9. Amen. Romans 12. So verse 9, he said, let love be thou. Don't be false. It's a, you know, if you want to love, you have to love in word and in deed. A whole lot of people love in word. My God, whatever happened to the deed. So he said, don't love as a hypocrite. Love falsely, but love without dissimulation. Abhor, I hate that which is evil, but flee to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring. Now, he's talking about being holy and acceptable before him, right? Amen. The Bible says, even as he's called us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him now in love. The only way that we can show God that we are his child is love. Because the Bible says God is what? Love. When we don't act like God, we act in an ungodly manner. Amen. Even when someone has wronged us, we still must do right. He said, not false in business, fervent in spirit, serving
the Lord.
Who are we serving?
The Lord.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in
tribulation.
I'm going through, but he said, be what? Patient. Enduring. I don't like it, but you still got to be patient. Continuing
instant
in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to. Somebody said, right there, that's where a lot of churches mess up. You know, he's talking about how we need to live godly, how we need to live holy, amen, how we need to present ourselves. Somebody said, I don't have no time for nobody else, I just got enough time for myself. You're supposed to be given to hospitality, amen, to whom? To the saints, amen, because we want to reflect the love of God. He didn't say react to what anyone has done. He said, just give it to what? To hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. And curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. You know what I mean? Don't get a big head. That's what I mean. You know what? God may have blessed you. Don't think you got a big head and you can look down on somebody else that's wrong. Amen? We still have to be humble. But condescend to men of lower state. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man. Don't have a rebound on sin. Maybe they did wrong you, but So it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things.
Honest.
That's a really, really, really big issue. A lot of times people in church, they say one thing, they act one way, but in their heart, they're not being honest. Amen. Why play with God when the Bible says God knows our heart? Why go to the emotions when God is reading our heart? So it says, provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. What I'm going to do right in church, the world, and they didn't say that. He says, how? All men. I got a neighbor that gets on my nerve. He just, every time I get a chance, I should take her arms and knock over. Matter of fact, I probably would let her ran over my car and knock it over. Right? But you know what? We're supposed to find things as honest in the sight of all men, but especially God. Listen, when you do it to man, you also do it to God. And Jesus said, in that list, you've done it to the least of these, my brethren. He said, you've done it up to who? Rebound sin, just reacting in an ungodly way when other people act wrong. That's not how God works. Amen. So it's so important that we get it right. Amen. So he goes on to say, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live out peacefully with who? All men. Dealing with love, avenge not yourselves, or rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is. God said, I will take care of this. You don't have to worry about it. Just do what's right. Vengeance is mine. I will repay what? Said the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what? Feed my enemy? Yes. Because you're doing like God would do. Just think of how many of us used to be enemies and God took care of us. Just think of how many of us were wrong and God had mercy on us. Just think of how many of us didn't do right. Amen. So he said, yeah, they might be hungry, but feed them. If they thirst, give them drink. For in so doing, thou shalt hold the fire upon his head. So God expects us to act in a godly manner, even in the midst of an ungodly situation. Maybe we don't like it, but God knows. Amen. So don't allow someone else's sin that they may have committed against you to make you sin by getting back at them. Don't rebound to sin. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. And this is the case where Absalom, who was one of David's sons, was living and doing right. But he rebounded to a sin that his brother committed against his sister. Amen. And we're going to start in verse 19. For your sake, you read prior to that. It's about Amnon, who was David's firstborn. And I believe Absalom was David's fourth son that was born. And it says, verse 19 says, and Tamar. Now, Absalom was living a completely guilt-free life up until this. But now Absalom responds to a sin that his brother committed against his sister. Amen. Guilt-free life. Nothing going wrong. But because of something that's wrong, he took matters into his own hand. Don't be a spiritual vigilante. What does a vigilante do? They take matters into their own hands. Amen. So verse 19 says, and Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of battle stone that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. So Absalom said, don't worry about it. Now you would think from his initial reaction that everything's going to be all right. But let's see what Absalom does to the sin. Does he handle it in a godly way or an ungodly way? And that's what God wants. You know, we can't control every circumstance. But we can control our response to the circumstance. Amen? It says, but when King David heard of all these things, he was wroth. He got angry. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. And it came to pass after two, and you say, after time has gone by, surely Absalom should have forgotten. No, he was rebounding to a sin, so that situation was in. Right? You would think, well, if time has gone by, so I should be able to get over this. No, when you don't handle things in the right way, it's like a seed. Right? Does that seed of bitterness, what is it doing?
Growing.
That seed is just multiplying itself. That trouble will spring up and that bitterness will spring up and what? Trouble you. So for 2 full years, he didn't do anything. But he was rebounding to a sin, so he had it in the back of his mind. I haven't done anything yet, but I plan on doing something to get back at Amnon for the wrong that he's done. So it says, at the end of 2 full years, Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazar, and which is beside Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, behold now, thy servant has sheep shearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. And the king said to Absalom, nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be charitable unto thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. So when a person is renounced to sin, they will work that situation until they get their way. Right? He said, well, in your mind, you're like, why are you so pressing? You know, why are you pushing this so much? What's the thing to do about it? But they are rebounding to a sin. You don't recognize it, but there's some stuff. There's some stuff down in there. Like, no, you can't say the right thing to them no matter what you say. It's always the wrong thing. Because they are rebounding instead of living God, instead of being obedient, instead of living righteous, they're doing their own thing. And this is what Absalom, amen? Then, verse 20 says, then said Absalom, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with. And this is at the end of 2 full years, you think by now, he said what? Everybody's forgotten about it. That's not how someone reacts when they rebound to sin. So you're going along all innocent, like everything is fine, but there's a hidden agenda because the heart ain't right. There's a hidden agenda because all they purpose from the time that you wrong them is whatever it takes, I'm going to get back. Be holy, God says. I am holy. Amen. Then said, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with them. And the king said to him, you know, David should have been trying to put some one and one together, you would think, right? Wait a minute. Your presence is like, wait a minute. Of all the people that David knew what Amnon had done, because he got what? Angry. So he's like, of all the people, why are you asking for Amnon? Well, the person that has a hidden agenda in their heart, they will press. Even a sound mind won't respond properly because they're determined that they're going to get back. Amen? Those are the ones you got to watch out for. Right? When people are just determined, you say good, they say bad. You see the good, they can't see good. Those are the people you just have to draw back from. Amen? You got to leave those people alone because no matter what you do, you can't make them see good, and there's a hidden agenda in their heart that God knows, but you can't see it. Amen? So I don't want to be in a situation for rebounding sin. I'm trying to help somebody, and all they can do is talk about all the problems and everything that somebody's done. You can't help that individual. That is what you call a God case. So don't get involved with it, because you cannot help them. David, all of David's radar went up. Wait a minute. Why do you want Amnon? It's a radar that's going on. Something's not altogether right here. Amen? But Absalom did what? Listen, when you purpose to do right for God and somebody's pressing you to do wrong, get out of their presence. Right? When your purpose is, you know what? God has been too good to me. If God loves the whole iniquity, by who then would stand? If God were to hold all my wrong against me, I wouldn't be able to stand. If God called all my mistakes to pan to the forefront, I couldn't stand. So don't keep telling me or pressing me about something that somebody else has done. I don't want to be involved with that. That's when you have to separate yourself from that, because if you know, you will eventually rebound to that sin because of what, listen, you didn't even have nothing in your mind. They purpose what they're going to do. Can we say praise the Lord? And I said, this is going to be the wrong way. I'm just trying to help you out when you're dealing with someone that's pressing wrong. You ever had one of those situations, somebody asks you to do something, you say, don't sound right. I don't feel good about this. They say, no, I want you to do it anyway. But it doesn't. In my spirit, I feel like this is wrong. But aren't you my friend? You know the old devil's tactic. Aren't you my friend? Don't you love me? If it's a husband or wife, you say, well, it just doesn't feel right. Be careful when it's a curse, right? Poor, what's the name, would have been all right if he didn't allow Delilah to press him. Watch the press. Samson would have been so fine. But the Bible says she what? Pressed him. When somebody has you in a press, and even in Samson's situation, he kept saying, there's something wrong. But what the devil does, listen, when you allow yourself to get in the press, the devil lulls you to a spiritual false sense of security. A false sense of everything is alright. Watch those that are pressing you. Amen. Absalom pressed him, that he let Amnon and all the sons go with him. But David kept saying no. Why did he change his mind? Think about it. David kept saying, no, we can't go. No, Amnon can't go. But the person that had the rebounding said, I'm not going to be satisfied till I get my way. That's when we as saints have to separate. Hey, Mom said, come out from the wall, let me be what? Touch not the unclean thing. If someone is going in an ungodly manner, you cannot support that, because then you become a partaker of that person's sin. Amen? So David, go ahead and let them go with him. Amen. Now, verse 28 says, now Amnon had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is buried with wine. How many years is this later? 2 full years. When a person is having a rebounding sin, don't let down your guard. Bible says, be sober, be what? Vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The scripture said, whom resist how? Steadfast in the faith. Stay in the faith. If you stay in the faith, you won't make a mistake. But the moment you go into carnality and carnal reasoning, you will make a mistake. Now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is buried with wine. And when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. He hadn't said a word. But for 2 years, he had purposed that he was going to rebound to that sin. You wrong my family, I'm going to get you back. I don't care how long it takes. Amen? He said, kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be vigilant. And the servant of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him up upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. And it had not happened. But just imagine, what was going on in David's mind when he said, I knew I should not have let them go, right? How many times has that happened to us? And I knew I should have done this. But I was rebounding to a situation, and even though my sound mind said no, I allowed carnal reason to get me in a compromising situation. Right there, I'm sure David was beating. 13. The one that helped out our plan the whole thing was Jonadab. Right? You have to watch people that like to play both sides. You know those people who like to play both sides? So he's in the side of those that are trying to do the wrong. Then he's on the side of those that want to get back at those that do the wrong. Watch those double agents. Right? If a person don't make a stand for God, you don't need him. Now Jonadab, who had planned the whole sneaking conniving with Amnon, is now speaking against Absalom. Watch your friends and choose them wisely. Amen. Because if you don't, they will cause you. But you know, people that the devil likes to use in an ungodly manner would tell you, if I were you, and you've got enough of that, say, you know what? I just go to the Word of God. If we go to the Word of God and live holy, we don't have to allow, we won't worry about people making us rebound to sin by sin. Amen? Just because they wrong you don't have to wrong them. Just because they didn't want to live right, don't mean you don't have to live right. Who are we living for, God or for man? Amen? So it says that Jonadab was telling this is what he had planned from the beginning. And at the end, Absalom wound up fleeing for several years. Well, what was the issue? Rebounding to sin. Did it happen to Absalom? No. But it happened to one of his family members. And because after that, he said, I'm going to get back at them whatever it takes. Saints of God tonight, don't rebound to sin. We're supposed to conduct ourselves as what kind of children? Obedient children unto God, not fashioning ourselves according to the formal laws, but according to the world. And the scripture says, if we order our conversation, how? All right. And that's where we need to draw the line. How are we conducting ourselves? And remember this, I don't see you. I don't have a heaven to put you in. First, they don't have a heaven to put you in, nor hell. But everything we see, we do. Who sees it? God sees it. Amen. And God is keeping a record. We can't control what people do that's wrong. But the eye for an eye mentality is gone. The tooth for tooth mentality is gone. When Jesus came, he abolished the law. And he was our schoolmaster. Amen. So Jesus was a schoolmaster taking us from law to what? Grace. So now we are saved by grace. And because we are saved by grace, grace is God's unmerited favor. And because we are saved by faith, grace, we do not act under the law. Because the law is nothing more than our schoolmaster to lead us to who? Christ. Tonight, are we rebounding to sin? Are we living ungodly? Are we living in an ungodly way because of an ungodly trial? Are we reacting, you know, even when we go out, when people do wrong? God watches everything we do. God watches everything we say. Let them act ungodly, let them act ugly. But I want to do the things that are pleasing to God. I don't want to just please God. The scripture said in Matthew 25, he's going to say, well done, thy good and what kind of servant? Faithful servant. And let's close at Matthew chapter 7. We just need to be obedient to God. Amen. We need to do what God tells us to do, irregardless of what temptations and tests come our way. All God wants to know is, are we obedient or disobedient? That's the only thing God is concerned about. Are you obedient or are you disobedient? Amen. Well, we're going to start off with verse 24 of Matthew 7. God just wants to know, are you going to stand on my word? And when I say, are you going to do what you want to do? Amen. Verse 24 reads, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and what? So it's more than just hearing God's word, but we also have to do them. He said, I would like to have my dream. What? What kind of man?
Wise.
Wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat up on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. Whenever we do what God tells us to do, we're going to rob. So the devil can send every storm his way, our way, but we won't follow because we found it upon a what? Rock. Because we are a wise man and did what the Lord said. Because of what God says, I'm on the rock. Now there is a flip side to being on the rock. Amen. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a what kind of man? A foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and what? So guess what? The wise had the wind, right? And the storm. The foolish had the wind and the storm. There was no separation. So whether you choose to be wise or foolish, you're going to have a storm. And there will be a wind. But what is the moral to the whole issue? If you stand on God's word, you won't fall. But if you don't be obedient and stand on God's word, you're going to fall and say, not just a regular fall, but hey, what kind of fall? Great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus said, he said, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the, as we all stand tonight. Whatever you do, purpose, you want to stand on God's word. And don't rebound to a sin. Don't try to live godly. Don't try to live if we're godly, don't try to live ungodly when a trial comes our way. In the midst of a trial, as a child of God, we're supposed to still live godly. And we're supposed to still do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. The moment you start rebounding to sin, you continue to rebound. You will always rebound to sin because you don't have a mind to do what is right. Tonight is all about pleasing God. How many want to make it to heaven? You can't go to heaven your way. I can't go to heaven my way. The only way we can go to heaven is whose way? He said, he kept saying, I am the Lord, as the elders and the ministers come forth. He kept saying, I am what? The Lord. After each commandment, he said, I'm God. We must do the things that are pleasing in this sight. You can't walk in disobedience and think God is going to say his will with your soul. In order for God to say his will with your soul, you have to walk.